July 8, 2015, is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show. Here in Pedro, but not with Brother Matt, because he is still on his vacation mode. I think he's in Big Bear now. So, but I am at my pad, and my guest here today is Josh Hayden, 12 years later.
Hello. Glad to be back.
We start off with John Coltrane and Miles Davis doing a two-bass hit, an alternate take. And then you and I from Spain. This is from a brand new record, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Called Sergeant Place.
Yep.
Is that named after a street?
Yes.
Because there's a label called Sergeant House.
Yeah, there is.
And I was told that it's called that because it's on a street called Sergeant. Yeah. I don't know if it's place. Might be street or avenue.
When I thought of calling the record Sergeant Place, yeah. Our producer, Gus Seifert, who the reason why was because his house studio was on Sergeant Place in Echo Park, or actually Elysian Park, more better of a description. But he actually had a label called Sergeant Records, and he checked with the other Sergeant House to make sure it was okay if there was a copyright problem, but there wasn't. They were okay with it.
Her name's so, Kathy. I know them because of Caramelos, a band I got to play with. They got a bunch of records on that label. Boris is on that label. And in fact, last summer in New York City, I recorded with Nels Klein and Greg from Deerhoof with Nick from Caramelos, and it's coming out.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, so when I saw that, it was like, it can't be the same. Because the military sergeant isn't spelled that way.
No.
It's like, you know what? Either some dude who don't know how to spell.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's got something to do with it. Now, you know, it's been 12 years, and we're talking about something that's brand new. But why don't we catch up from them 12 years? What's happened since then?
Around like the beginning of the 2000s, yeah. I, for different reasons, put Spain, the band, on hiatus, and I worked on some other stuff. And, by around 2006 or 2007, decided to start getting back into Spain and the old Spain material and writing new material.
And the guys.
So, and yeah, well, a whole new band.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I was working, promoting my solo album that came out in 2007.
Sure.
So I took a couple of the guys from that band and started, recruited a new guitar player and started Spain back.
Okay.
And that was, I don't know, 2008 maybe? I might be wrong. And then it took around there. And it took until 2012 for the next Spain record to come out. That was Soul of Spain.
Soul of Spain.
Yeah.
Right, right. This new record here, Sergeant Place, and it was recorded at the producer man's
Gus Seifert. Yeah, at his house. And I think it was the last album he recorded at his house before he had to move out.
Oh.
Now he's in a new place that's better, actually.
Okay, okay. Not total sad news.
No, no, it's not
were
sad
the send-off. Your album was the send-off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think, more or less, yeah.
How would you say that doing this guy was different? Well, obviously much different than the solo Spain, but
it was totally different. The because the producers were different in their approach.
Yeah, right.
And Gus is more of the kind of old school producer who knows what he wants, and he's willing to compromise every once in a while, but he has a vision for the songs and he wants it done his way. And
so what'd you do before you even recorded one note? Did you bring him like demos?
Yeah.
Ah, so he was listening and getting ideas. And what were they? They were done at your pad or something? Just little.
Yeah, or things, we had a rehearsal studio, yeah. Okay. And a good example of Gus's influence was the song You and I. It is a great example. Because I brought it to him and it sounded like, it didn't sound bad, it just sounded like a U2, like arena anthem that I didn't even know it sounded like that. And when Gus heard it, he said, I really like this song, but it sounds too much like U2. Let's do this and this to it. And
is your pop on that?
Yeah. And that
was that his that suggestion too?
Well, it was both of us. Okay. And
really?
But that turning
a U2 tune, like, pop could fit in.
Yeah. Turning the song kind of like to the polar opposite that originally meant to be, he open the song to having my pop play on it.
Yeah, because when I think of your songwriting, I don't really think of arena rock.
No.
It's always more personal and up close and approachable.
Yeah, well, that's the creative process. You know, a lot of people don't know that, artists have the freedom to do anything they want and write that's a song no matter how it sounds, but it's just in the editing process later that it's a little honed a little bit.
Right. And then asking another man, like getting a outside perspective, like a producer. And
that's what I prefer.
Okay. So, Gus, was this the first time you've done it like that?
Since Blue Moods, the first album from 95, where we had a very similar type of producer.
Okay.
That was the first time I'd worked with another producer who was so kind of...
I heard your stuff and this is the way I see it.
Yeah. Has very strong convictions.
Yeah, right.
And I appreciate that because I like to go in the studio and kind of be taken on a magic carpet ride. And I don't know what's going to happen next.
How many producers does it take to change a light bulb? I don't know. What do you think? Some of these guys have no opinions. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then maybe the opposite is too much opinion, but at least it's something to bounce stuff off of. The thing where there's no, might as well be an engineer.
Because left to me, I don't know how to produce records. So, left to me, it's a nightmare. It's
or
just
demos.
Like, or demos. Demos are a little easier. But producing a record is like, if you leave me at the desk and I'm in control of it, just it'll never get done.
Okay.
So this record, Sergeant Place, took 2 weeks.
Wow.
So, and the, so it's
everything. Record, mix.
Record and mix. And Soul of Spain, the one right before it, took 2 years.
Right.
So.
Contrast.
Yeah.
Let's listen to some music. Good stuff.
Somebody's gonna blow the whistle on hoodlums in high places. They're collecting your numbers and your personal data. And if you speak out, they'll paint you into a corner, brand you a terrorist, communist informer. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. The whistleblower's a man of integrity, trained by the elite. He's hardly a spy, he's just fed up with a corrupt authority invading your privacy while real spies run free. He's indicted for treason by imperialist decree. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. Congress howls he's a traitor, while the high echelon tribunal of stooges gives him 30 years in the slammer for leaking secrets and public abuses. The whistle is blowing for you and me, but ain't it some kind of tragedy? Some people don't know how to be free, or just too lame to forge their own destiny. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. The president orders squadrons of drones to destroy churches and schools of women, children, ordinary fools, for bombs are falling, crushing their bones. It's an evil hand that swore on the Bible to uphold justice, keep the world free, but does neither except deceive you and me. Leadership is liable for the crimes they commit. They can pin medals on themselves, but they're guilty ever a bit. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. Stars and stripes or the White House flies, but you can't stand dumb while the victims cry, are choked with rifle butts and your apathetic sighs. The whistleblower knows this ain't a pretty thing, blowing the whistle on the intelligence machine, seeing through the prism how the minions of spies double deal their conspiracy of lies. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, your freedoms are fading by the hour. There is no escape from their power and might, but knowing the score is half the fight. Like the titan who stole the flame of fire, information freedom, it's the torch of light. Like a bird on the wing, like glory in the flower, the whistleblower gives us back the power. Power to the people and the flame of light.
Watt from Pedro Show. I think that's one of the reasons why young people have more open minds about music, because they got so much access. You know, like we're just talking from, well, let's say we just played From the Dust from the new album, Sergeant Place, Spain. Then your pop, Charlie Haden doing Lonely Woman live. And, yeah, I got this I got to watch it. You guys didn't get to watch it, but you can go see this thing on YouTube. I mean, it's incredible. But I was lucky to see your pop play live many times, and I loved it. I love the expression, man. Very inspiring me as bass man. We heard your sister Petra do something called Music after that. I think she's singing. They showed her Japanese.
Wow.
When she was Yuka Honda, and what was it called? Well, first it was just them two.
Yeah.
And then they brought in the Migu people. But I think that's who's the music behind her. But it's a lot of a cappella. And then Taff Falco, I never noticed that. If you transpose the letters, it's Flacco, which is skinny. Taff Falco's got a new album and a tune called Whistleblower. Then Milovije Mika Markovic Jazz Band with Atpisani 09. And then Melodoika You Need with No. Vittoria Smart from Sha 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 or Ha Ha Ha. XAXAXA. Depends on the language. Not so good with the Slav stuff. My apologies. Finally, Pochitok I Kraj by Bernays Propaganda featuring PMG Collective. From the Dust, what this tune? Tell me about that.
I don't know.
When you brought it to Gus. What was Gus's reaction?
This was it wasn't. We didn't change it very much.
Good. He liked what you brought.
This was one of the songs that we worked out in a lot in practice and. I've been playing with different guys lately, and I like how the new lineup plays this song better. I think it's the blues aspect of the song.
Yeah.
If I could be critical of the album, doesn't come out enough, but it's supposed to be a kind of. You know, in the blues, classic blues style,
sure.
Kind of a song about mortality. And,
there's a lot of strong questions on this album.
Yeah.
Intense issues. The blues, you know, we lost Ornette. And, some people would tell me, well, more of my Square John people I know, boy, that's crazy music. But same with Coltrane. When I hear a lot of blues.
Yeah.
Even for all the wild and light years ahead thinking, I still hear blues in Ornette's playing. Your pop played with him many years. I think bebop guys, when they said the blues, I think it was important. It didn't mean... I don't think such a template, maybe, but I think it was a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Which is trippy. There's an interview with John Coltrane where I think he's talking to Augusta Bloom, and he says, yeah, with Monk, we would do things like, he'd call it the chord minor, but we would never hit the third. You know? So I think in that kind of thing, the blues... You know, think about Miles's book. He said, the blues was never sad for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the blues is real. And so I think to ask the questions that the dust, from the dust, it hit home. That's trippy, too, that the producer didn't need to get in there.
Yeah.
It was just the cat you were playing with. Oh, maybe we should give credit.
Yeah.
Talk about who's on the record.
On the record were some great players, Daniel Brummel on guitar and Randy Kirk on keyboards, and Matt Mayhall on drums, and Gus played a lot of stuff on it. Petra sang on it. Petra plays violin on a tune. Petra Hayden, my sister.
Yeah, sure.
And we played these songs a lot before we started recording the album.
So one
we played them
why.
Live and played them in rehearsal, and
you did gigs with them too.
Yeah,
that means
not all of them, but
I think that makes a big
them.
Difference.
Mm-hmm. We went on tour with a lot of the songs.
I wish I could do that. It seems like that's always the missed thing. I'm underprepared when I record, but you had it good and done. That's probably one of the reasons why the 2 week thing.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I mean, we had the material pretty locked down, except for some of the songs, which were like You and I, and other ones where we couldn't really decide what we wanted to do with them, and Gus kind of had the final word on.
Sure.
He was able to work it out. I'm very happy with Sergeant Place, with the playing and the execution of the material, and the sonic quality of the recording. Gus is very meticulous and has great taste in sound and in music, and he's also a musician, and much better musician and much more knowledgeable about songwriting and the technical aspects of notes and chords and all that stuff than I am. So
is there a lot of takes?
No, not really. Not a lot of takes. It depended on the song.
You had to beat it out of you.
But so the playing is so amazing. Daniel's guitar playing is incredible and so full of feeling. And Randy and Matt also just really, their playing really shines on the record.
You got it.
And, you know, I did my best. Petra and Gus, everyone played great.
Now, like in the arc of things of the Spain Records, where would you put this baby?
I would say it's my favorite since Blue Moods.
Wow. It's a 95.
Yeah. So.
That's 20 years.
Yeah, it's 20 years. We're having the 20-year anniversary show for Blue Moods this year. I think it's going to be in November.
Wow.
In L.A. at least.
Wow. 20 years. And I've got, something in my mind. I'm always thinking, Josh's new proj. Now, people, you might not realize or remember from the last show, I was engaged as a producer. In fact, I think it's the first time I did it all by myself. I know I was a co-producer with Saccharine Trust's first record, but the Treacherous Jaywalkers at Radio Tokyo with Ethan James.
Yeah.
Actually, Ethan James, incredible cat.
Ethan James wasn't on that session.
No.
His friend.
Glenn, his partner.
Okay.
No, but when I think of, Ethan's gone on now about, 10, 12 years.
We were bummed.
I think of Radio Tokyo. I know,
We were bummed when we got there. Ethan James isn't here. Oh, well.
And that was the whole idea of probably wanting to do it at Radio Tokyo.
He was
Tokyo.
A legend back then.
Of course, of course.
For us, just kids, we didn't know what we were doing. We just bought the records from Rhino Records in Westwood. And
this
his name
was
on
in
all
Venice.
This
wasn't that
this
far
was
away.
Venice. Yeah.
Wow.
I brought the vinyl album of it.
Wow. Well, in those days, I think that's all it was.
Yeah. SST would put out stuff on tape, too.
Cassettes. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Was there a Treacherous Jaywalker tape?
I think there was.
Okay. That pad is still there.
Wow.
is I'll drive down. Now, it's not called Washington. Remember, it used to have three Washingtons in Venice.
Yeah.
Now, they finally turned one to Abbot Kinney Boulevard.
Yeah.
Which, you know, he built the town. They should give him some credit. But I think of that pad. It was a little house, people.
It was so long ago. I was in, like, 1987.
Wow.
Or 86, 87.
It's almost 30 years ago.
Yeah.
People are at the end of the first hour, July 8th, 2015 edition of Wapa Pedro Show. Guest Josh Hayden. Hold tight for hour two. July 8th, 2015 is the second hour of Wapa from Pedro Show.
It took so long. It was so sad. Go down in flames.
be one more night.
Watch for Pedro show. Started off the second hour with Spain, new album, Sergeant Place, doing The Fighter. What can you tell about The Fighter?
It's another one that we worked a lot on in practice, and we played live. I think Gus made some subtle arrangement choices that kind of enhanced it and made it more interesting as a song. It was the lyrics are inspired by the Martin Scorsese film Raging Bull.
Oh, yeah. You know, some of that's filmed in Pedro.
Wow, I didn't know that.
We got this club called Dancing Waters. It's from World War II days.
Mm-hmm.
It had a dancing waterfall, in fact, in the old days. Even when Minutemen...
Wow.
Minutemen played there several times.
I've seen the flyers, old flyers, Dancing Waters.
Yeah, the Cramps played there, even the Soft White Underbelly. But when he's... the man is Jake LaMotta, right?
Yeah.
And when he ends up stop fighting, he's a club owner.
Right.
That's the club.
Oh.
And they filmed that there. But anyway, in fact, the inspiration for the lyric is Jake LaMotta, this movie, Martin Scorsese meet.
Yeah, and it's just using the kind of for the first half of the song is kind of using the image or the idea of a boxer losing as a metaphor for sometimes in life things happen that we don't have control over.
You got to reconcile. That's a very middle-aged theme there.
I don't know.
That's a lot of my third operas about stuff like that. Yeah. That's interesting.
And then the second...
You know, when we're littler, a couple of years means a big difference. I think as we get less younger...
Yeah.
Those differences don't mean that much.
No.
I'm kind of in the same boat than you, even though back then in Treacherous Jaywalker days, I was this way older dude. I think you caught up with me. that's excellent, because that's the main point of my third opera is what you're talking about in The Fighter. Some things you just got to reconcile.
Yeah.
And that was wonderful about Mr. Scorsese making a movie where the guy isn't always the champ.
Right.
Because that's... actually what real life's more about.
Exactly.
Here, some other tunes we played was Super Chunk doing Staying Home, Dex Ron Weber Duo doing Prelude in G Minor. I think he's the first cat that I saw that did a band without a bass man.
Wow.
You know, guitar drum thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was called Flat Duo Jets. Oh, he's really good. And this is something he put out last year. Surfer Blood, Covered Wagons after that. Banditos, Old Ways, brand new album. Bloodshot out of Chicago. The Clowns from England doing Macho Bimbo. Umpio out of Finland. Turku is the town. Into the Pigsty. And finally, Mini Beast, Don't Scare Us. And that's Peter from Mission of Burma. His own little... And he's now in Providence, Rhode Island. That's trip. When you're writing, what comes first? Music, words, title?
It depends. Usually not the title, but sometimes I'll think of something or a phrase or a word that sounds like a good title, and I'll write it down and write a song about the title. Usually the music comes first, and then I fit lyrics to it.
Okay.
Later, but it's not always the case.
No, but the title thing's interesting because that's what I do. I always start with the title just to have focus.
Okay.
So I'm going to make all the music and all the words try to realize this.
Yeah.
I know almost everybody I know, they always say title is last.
That's a good strategy. I'm going to try that.
Well, that's what I've always had to do because I wasn't a songwriter until punk movement.
Yeah.
And it was difficult. And so that was one of my devices.
Wow.
One of my strategies. To be a man.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that next. What can you tell me?
I wrote it with my dad in mind. It's just kind of a... I don't know. Just a... you know... message to my dad when...
Yeah. I think that's an interesting place to be, because I think your pop always wants you to be your own man.
Mm-hmm.
But then you are kind of part of him.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
To be a man.
Beach, Sunset,
Marine Beach,
Lot,
thank you,
Lot,
grabbed
Pepsi and
your
what like as gay couple, what like as hey, what like as
what,
Watt for Pedro. You just heard Corporate Suck Still Rocks by the Lemon Limes. They had some fun with that bumper sticker.
I like it.
That's Kevin up in Oakland. Desert Entryway Live. Before that, Miss Melvis, You Bring Me Up. I think Desert's out of Hokkaido. Miss Melvis in Austin. A Space Pony from Ravenna, Italy. Before that, with The River. Ahead of that, another Japanese band, Golden, with Ryuko Joe, the demo. Kyoka in Berlin with My Dead Homies, the remix. Can-Can Heads ahead of that. They're out of Finland. To Kill All the Echoes. And finally, Spain with To Be a Man. What did Gus have to say when you brought this?
Not much changes.
Okay.
I think, if anything, it was the sparseness of it was really
appropriate.
Emphasized more in our playing. You know, everything was put to the basics. Gus called it diamonds. Just play the diamonds. That's what we were doing. It's hard. It's easy.
Nothing's zirconium.
Yeah. It's easy to overplay.
Oh, so. Sure.
Especially when you're recording an album where...
You know that. Especially the longer you play, it seems.
Yeah.
When you're all beginning, you only play just enough because that's all you know.
Yeah.
But as you play along, I have this nightmare. Down the hallway is the God of Fusion. And he's like, come on, Watt. On your knees. It seems like humans, the longer they do something, the more. So that was excellent advice he gave you.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about having the outside ear.
Right.
When I did my third opera, I did it with Tony Mamoni, was the bass man for Pararubu.
Yeah.
He even let me use his bass. And I was just all for this kind of direction, this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You live with your tunes, you know, you create them and everything, but it seems they don't get a fair show unless somebody's there to help you with a bounce.
Yeah.
The sound off of. When you guys went to mix, how was that? What was that procedure?
It was pretty easy.
Were you there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
there most of the
some
time.
People, you know, like people me, just, sometimes like I'll just stay away because I'm just scared.
Yeah.
Fuck it. But you were there.
Yeah.
Behind the shoulder, like. I've also seen some mixes where the dudes, this is the old days of tape running.
Yeah.
But they're fighting on the faders. I won't name names, but I couldn't believe it. Oh, this is how you guys do your record.
Yeah, we, there was a Gus's friend Daryl Thorpe came in and did the actual, you know, manual labor for the mixing, and he has a great ear, and it was kind of like he was sitting at the desk and Gus was kind of pacing back and forth behind him.
Okay.
And I was sitting in a chair behind them.
All right.
And other guys were kind of in and out coming when they could.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Interesting.
You know, it took maybe 5 days to mix the whole album.
9 days record, 5 days mix. That's really good. We're at the end of the second hour. July 8, 2015 edition of Watt from Pedro Show. My guest Josh Hayden here talking about the new Spain album, Sergeant Place. Hold tight for hour 3. July 8, 2015, is the third hour, Watt from Pedro Show.
How can I know if it's the morning or the shadows? How can I see the sunshine? try to wait. It's time to go to sleep. Every time I try to sleep, it's time to wake up.
sets unfurled.
Watt for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour with Waken Song, which probably wouldn't have been good to do first. But I just wanted to play you and I for step in the third hour. Maybe if you started dozing people, it's time
right.
to wake up.
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, then Cosmodrone with The Birth of Cosmodrone, Part 1. Labor Camp with some people. That's got a... He's a guitar man. He did with Paul Rossler. Kurt from Nip Drivers, his new prod. Panorama City, behind my green door. And I think that's Stu with the Double Ot Spy Guys.
Wow.
Who I got to jam with. Joe Berardi. That's a good drummer, man.
Yeah, he's great.
Wow. He's avant-garde and wild, but still can groove. Mm-hmm. He's incredible. He also told me, sir, he builds fuzz boxes.
Wow.
Not a lot of drummies do that. And then Bismuth from Big Eye Drone. I can't remember where they're from. I'm sorry. But Las Humberstone, or how did I say it? Humberstones from Chile. They were on the show last week. La Verdad. Tell me about Waken Song.
That's one of the songs on the record that I wrote in the early 90s.
And oh, just so you went back.
Never got around to properly recording.
Sure, it was always sitting in the satchel.
And it was actually longer than it was when it turned out to be on the record. Gus is another example of Gus honing it down to the basics and making it making the songs more compelling in the distillation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it's the shortest song on the record. And originally I wrote it. I was writing songs in the early 90s to kind of challenge traditional pop songwriting structure.
Sure.
So this is a result of that kind of messing around with structure.
And then coming to fruit all these years later. Well, can you tell me about this In My Soul? That's what we're going to play next.
It's a song about thinking like a person thinking that they know something but not really knowing for sure. In this case,
they think. They don't.
And I think it's more kind of a religious, kind of like not very specific as far as like what religion I'm talking about, but like in terms of thinking that there's feeling that there's a larger meaning in to life and feeling that in your soul, and like you know that there's a larger meaning. A reason for everything,
yeah.
Or, you know, a center of the universe or God or whatever. And but then there's something that you think, maybe I didn't feel that. Maybe I really don't feel that. I don't know. So that's what I wrote the song
about. So a little skeptical.
Yeah.
At the same time. As being convinced. Okay, let's listen to that now.
Well, I sometimes have my doubts, but I cannot live without in my soul. In my soul. And I know
The smell of incense filled the room. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Mr. Freeland.
As the King of England. Yeah.
Zombie crash, breaking it down. Got a hat.
Yes.
Got a hoodie. I got the good stuff.
Yeah.
Gold necklace, gold chains. They're stolen from the cops. They're trying to catch me, pull me down, cause they know I won't stop. Got the guns, I got the bullets, ready in the clip. I'll ask them all out. We have lots of fun.
Kiss those dicks. Kiss those dicks. Kiss those dicks. Kiss those dicks.
Together, switched on and fifth. We'll thrash the stage good and hard, and then he might be sick. Got the food, got the things, all gathered backstage. Got my speed guns for protection, so perfect to stay away. Got the girls, they're lovely, with boobs and bumps. When we go out in our places, we have lots of fun.
Kiss your sex. Kiss the stars! Kiss the stars! Kiss the stars!
Watford Pedro Show, last music for this edition, In My Soul from Spain. And Devin, Gary, and Ross with Smell of Incense. God, I wonder what town. I think they're SoCal, but Gary, he used to do the thing for Pee Wee. He's Gary Panner.
Yeah.
And Jimbo in the old Slash comics.
Right.
There's a river, Eiko Ishibashi, which is also helped by Mr. Jim O'Rourke out of Tokyo. Shinjuku. Kiss Snog Sex by Zombie Crash out of Brighton, England. And finally, Medulla Stream, Swenson Klein out of Canada. Plans for Spain.
Well, let's see. We have the 20th anniversary Blue Moon show coming up. And
now, how are you going to do it? Is it going to be this new lineup, or are you going to be things from the old days?
I'm not sure yet. I know the new lineup will be there. Sure. I'm just not sure yet who is going to be contributing to the show.
You're
going
to be doing some old-timey tunes, right?
Yeah. I'd like it to be a unique show, and like one thing I want to do is bring in a string section.
Wow.
Because of the one song on the album called World of Blue, at the end there's this really beautiful string interlude that mm-hmm. goes on, I don't know, for several minutes.
Yeah.
And my sister Petra and my sister Tanya play on, and I was thinking of getting some violin and cello and viola players to kind of try to emulate that. So it'll be a special show.
Okay. Tour plans?
We're going to tour in Europe in September, I think.
Okay.
Do our second half of touring this album, Sergeant Place. And I also have to start recording, or at least making demos for the next record.
Oh, okay. Already planned.
That's going to start soon.
Wow. When did this come out? How long ago?
This came out in Europe. It was February of 14, and then in the States it was November of 14.
Okay.
So not too long ago.
No, but more than a year. So yeah. Okay, so you're already thinking about what kind of ideas are you thinking for this next album?
I don't know. I don't want to give them away. Totally sure yet.
Sure.
I have lots of sketches and ideas that I'm sitting down.
But you think it's going to be different than Sergeant Place?
Yeah, I think it'll be different in certain ways and similar in other ways, too.
You got it covered when you say something like that.
As far as like a theme, I have a theme I'm working out, and I don't know if it's good or not. I'm going to try it out on some people in, towards the end of the summer or the beginning of September or something. I'll run some ideas around.
See how they're received.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years of Spain, 12 years since you've been on the show, 28 years since Treacherous Jaywalker. If somebody wanted to ask you some advice about this music racket, what would you tell them? Maybe a young person coming into it.
Or an
older dude, even.
I would say what I read Mark Lanegan in an interview. Great singer. And he said, I think they were asking him something about how dismal the music industry is right now as far as, musicians being able to survive. And Mark Lanegan said something like, I would play music even if I wasn't getting paid. And, I do this because I love it.
Yeah.
And that's my advice to musicians, is to do it because you love to do it. Don't do it because of the money.
Yeah.
And don't even worry about the money,
I think it was always fierce. Of course, there's always somebody who wins the lotto, okay?
Right.
But I was reading this thing about 1939. There was 30,000 swing bands torn.
Wow.
The competition must have been incredible.
Yeah.
And how many dudes in the band?
Yeah.
Right?
That's
you couldn't
amazing.
Have trios.
Yeah.
Right? Because they had to power it with horns.
Yeah. So how many people in each band? Like at least a dozen.
That's what I'm saying. Talk about the good old days. Yeah. I don't know if there ever was good old days. I think when people talk that way.
Yeah.
Okay, there has been changes. I think it's always kind of been rough. So to me, your advice you give is right to the heart. It's got to be about love.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. I don't know. I just love it. Thank you so much. And I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Watt. Thank you for having me.
I know 12 years later. But next time I want a lot sooner, like when you get this, it might be a 2016 album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
After you sound out some concepts and themes, and you get and down to it and record it, you come on the show and we'll play some tunes from it again.
I would love that. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Okay, people. It's been July 8th, 2015, Dish Waffle Pedro Show. Guest Josh Hayden. Keep your powder dry.